Blog Talk Radio.
Black people, my people,
Black people, my people, my people, my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, Ariel, here again at Kol Elohim, coming with Hebrew Culture, with the fourth installment of Ministry Society, getting ready for the Shabbat door to be open. We got probably about 35 more minutes or less for the Shabbat door to be open. Pray we all are ready, mind, body, and soul, to enter into Abba's rest. Once again, I want to thank Abba Yah for just giving me the breath of life and giving me the mind, a right mind to serve him. Torah Abba Yah. Before I get into everything, I'm going to open up in prayer. And before I just get to talking with the opening blessings and everything, let's do the formalities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah. Once again, thank you, Father, for giving us the breath of life, Father, for giving us sound mind, Father. Thank you, Abba Yah, for all the lessons and blessings we had throughout this week, Father, and that we take them into your Shabbat, Father, and ponder on the things and meditate on what you have put in our spirit and our Ruach, Father, what you have given us through our experiences, Father. May we take our experiences and apply them to thy word, Father, to thy will, Father, and to the understanding of what do you want for mankind, Father. So thank you once again for just giving us the experiences of this life for this week to enter into your Shabbat, Father, so we have some things to meditate on, as well as with your word, Father, for the Morays that's coming up tomorrow, Father, that you keep their minds, and Shalom, Father, a little later on, tomorrow. A little later on, Father, to keep their minds in Shalom, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all those who are ailing, Father, whether it be spiritually, mentally, or physically, Father, that you touch and heal them, Father, that it be your will, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. So are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat. As a heritage, a remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go again, family, with the fourth installment of Ministry Society. And prayerfully, we have been learning something during this journey that Abba Yah has given us. This was meditating just before the lesson came. Just thinking about why all the lessons, right? Why all the lessons, and why raise them or raise up? Why continue to send your people word weekend after weekend, week out, right? Just meditating on that. Why? You know, simple answer to came, right? A real, real simple answer. Ain't no big mystery about it. We hard-headed. We stiff-necked, right? That's what we are. We are hard-headed and stiff-necked, and through repetition is how we learn. You know, some of us learn easier than others, and then some of us, them lessons come harder. Them lessons come harder, and we take longer to learn, right? We take longer to learn what Abba Yah is trying to get up to see. And for each and every believer, wherever you started at, whenever you started, it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's a personal journey that Abba Yah has taken each and every one of us on at our own pace. At our own pace. We all are the tortoise in the tortoise and hare race, right? We all are that. No, boom, we get on there, run 100 miles an hour. No, we the tortoise. Sometimes we get pushed back because, again, we learn hard. We learn hard. And even to continue to meditate with Abba Yah, to continue to ask that question, why the lessons? Because This life is a journey. This life is a journey that whether you believe in the Most High or you don't, you're still on a journey. And every journey takes you somewhere. Your journey may take you to the kingdom, and your journey may not take you to the kingdom of God, right? Where we look at the world and see the world out here doing whatever they want on Abba Shabbat, on Abba Holy Days. They may not know it, but they're still on a journey. They what the scripture calls the course of this world, right? And we, as the believers, is on the opposite course. We're on the course of the kingdom, right? Prayerfully, we're on a straight and narrow path. Abba raises up Marines each and every week to help us, to further us on this journey, right? To further us to get us into the kingdom. Because that's the bottom line, the destination of the journey, right? We don't want to be on this thing and straight and narrow and we keep falling off. We want to be learning. We want to hear these stories. We want to hear this history. We want to take this history. We want to take these stories. And we want to apply them to our life, apply them to our character, and we want to share it, prune, whatever word you want to use, and we want to stay on the straight and narrow. All those times we stop on the straight and narrow, some of us take footsteps backwards, right? We get off the straight and narrow, left to the right. But through Abba's loving commitment, his loving kindness, he brings us back on that straight and narrow. And when we realize and understand that it's a journey, it's a process. Salvation is a process, not like what they teach in the churches of the world. That, boom, soon you accept Mashiach, you see salvation. It is. That's true. How they teaching it, not what the word says. It says that he who endures to the end, what? The same shall be saved, right? Not he who just said, all right, I believe in you, Yahushua, I'm following you, I'm walking behind you. And it ain't probably till, as in my journey, in my walk, 18, 19 years, that I start to understand and learn me. Who I am as a person, what triggers me, what my strongholds, what my things that's been holding me back from furthering my relationship with the Most High, right? So it's not that you just jump on it, and you have to be willing to learn yourself. You have to be willing to learn. That's what the word is for. One of the things the word is for us to learn who we are. Not the one that we call a believer, but the true essence core of who we are. It helps us to see that person. It helps us to understand that person and see how Hallel, Satan, is using that person, right? It ain't until the new person, the new creature that's growing inside of this flesh help overthrow that old you, right? And I just use a whole lot of words, but just the principle of the word. You had to say no scripture, right? But we got to be willing to learn who we are. And you have to be honest, too. If we ain't honest, then you're going to continue on that hamster wheel. And you're going to continue to learn those lessons that Abba. You're going to continue to repeat the same thing over and over again until we learn who we are and what we are willing to do for Abba Yah. And it ain't till we come to our senses like the prodigal son and realize that Abba Yah is good. And then in the meditation again, I'm thinking like, I'm going to give you all the education that you need to be the best believer that you can be, right? That's what a good dad, because we just talked about how he is the father. He is the dad of Israel. He is our daddy. He is Abba to us. You will be able to tell the growth of the individual when you talk to them and where their relationship is at with them, right? And here's, and understand what I'm saying. There's many attributes to Abba Yah, right? There are many, quote-unquote, surnames to him. There's many, quote-unquote, titles. The Most High, the Almighty, right? Elohim. But when does he become Abba to the individual? When every time you talk, and especially if you're talking with another Israelite, right? You're talking with another Israelite. And you're talking, reality should be, I'm talking to one of my brothers or sisters. Because we both have the same dad, right? We both have the same father. No different with siblings, right? When they talk, they don't talk to each other in the sense of their parent in this abstract thing, right? They talk in a concrete, mommy, daddy, because that's what they know. That's what they understand who they are. They are, in their mind, they are mommy, they are daddy. You know? So that's when your relationship with Abba starts to grow, because when you start understanding, that's Abba. That's my father. I know one brother, that's what he say. That's my father. That's my father. Every time. My father do it every time. Right? Brother Mario. And I could speak his name. No, his brother don't mind me speaking his name. Every time you talk to him, I'll be out to do something. Boy, that's my father. That's my father. My father do it every time. Because that's where he's at in his relationship. Right? Didn't Abba Yah, I mean, Yahushua said the same thing? Abba. He didn't talk to him as he was the Almighty, that he was far away, that he was just this God somewhere. Abba. When you pray, Abba. So, as excuse me, fam. My four brothers, I was reading your text messages. Forgive me. Forgive me, family. And but that's the growth in your relationship. And just that. Because at the end of the day, you want that father-son, father-daughter relationship. You want that personal time with your father, each and every one of us, male or female. You know, he considered himself all our daddy. But it's growth. It takes time. And even with this journey, you were meditating again on this journey of why lessons. Because not just that he's priming up or guiding us and developing us as believers, also showing us the roadmap to how to get to the kingdom, to how to dodge the minefields, right? The mines, right? These objects, the things that blows us up or something that can get us off the path, right? He also is doing that. So he gave us his word. His word is a roadmap to, is also a roadmap to the kingdom, because he knows that the adversary have set traps, booby traps, throughout the world system. And he have allowed him to do that. He have allowed the adversary to put the world on a course so he can pull his kids out one by one, one by one. One. And, all right, brother, you done gone off the deep end with the one by one. What you mean one by one? How he going to be pulling up? There's a many of people that come up. But if you pay attention to the scriptures, is one by one. When Reverend Paul talking about we all should rise, and he talk about an order, first Adam, the first person, Captain Yahushua, sure, and getting their reward, which is the kingdom, that's how it's going to go. But it's going to go so fast, you may see a multitude of people in the sky. You see, when Yahushua cracked the sky, we get to see that if we're still here. But it's going to happen so fast, but it's one by one. Just like that. But there's also unity that we must have as Israelites. That also we have to have unity and love for one another. In order to do this journey, the love and the unity, the Akkad, must be one of our leading forces or our leading strength in this walk. We know that old adversary. As a matter of fact, this is the journey that we talk about. We know we talk about menace to society, and I did a lot of talking. Menace to society. You know, we've been talking about Israel is the menace to society, whether good or bad. In the sense to this world system, we are menace to it because we are the ones who are opposed to it. We are the ones who are following Yahushua and said, we will not uphold this world system. We will uphold the Torah and the testimony of Yahushua, right? So we are menace to it. Then actuality, the ones who don't know, and even those who do know, is falling right in line in this corrupt system. In this corrupt system, in being the most corruptible. Being the most corruptible. Showing the world, as the scripture says, how to sin. Israel does that. Israel have always done that. Who speaks against that? You know, I mean, he blaming on the Caucasian man and say, yes, they are the most this, they are the most that. And in some circumstances, they are. You may look out there and see that. But they did not have the Torah. Yahweh said the Gentiles, they going to be wicked. He already said it. But if the Most High Yah says, Israel, you are the ones who teach the nations how to sin against me. Who word are you going to take for what we see out here? Abba's word. Because Abba is the one know who's doing the most sinning against him. Talked about last week, who is the most disrespectful to a parent? Nobody more than their children. A person outside of your household, a child outside of you, it may irk you when you see a little disrespectful child. Or they may cuss you out. It may irk you. If your own child do it, it cuts you. That's a difference. And that pain may last a little longer. So who we think that Abba look at and see who's sinning the most? Israel or the world? The world is who they are. They're going to be who they are. They do not have the spirit of the Most High. They was not given the Torah. They did not have an encounter with him at Mount Sinai. And somewhat, they have an excuse, which they don't. They just going to get less stripes, as the scripture says. He who know, going to get many stripes. But he who don't know, they're going to get a little bit stripes. They're going to be too. For the time being, till Yahushua come back, then it's going to be all our war and one stripe and that's it. That's it. Let's get into tonight's lesson. And again, I'm going to be doing a little bit of reading tonight, family. Hopefully we don't get through all this tonight. And got to open up with this psalm because he's on his journey about, we reading in WEBA. On his journey about menace to society, we continue to build till we get there. And I will continue to detour, as I've been thinking on what I'm going to be talking about. And by the time I sit down, I know you're going this way. As a matter of fact, and the underlying name of this is the infections of the body, right? The infections of the body. And we won't come to understand what that means by the time we get there. But again, don't take my word for it. Don't take no Marie word for it. Don't take none of the priest's word for it. Just follow along. Just follow along. The brother just talked about bodies, right? Brother, I just gave him a whole lesson about the body. But one of the parts he didn't bring out, then we talked about, oh, that's why I didn't bring that out, because I was going to bring that. And if we notice, if we paying attention, Israel, that Abba has been doing that of late. He has been building on lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. He has been building for our benefit. Psalms 149. For our benefit. And again, we read the whole chapter. Take word for word. Praise Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Yisrael rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Yah be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations, punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor. Yeah. Matter, go back and read this right here. Hallelujah for Abba Yah just putting it on Rabbi Yaakov's heart, and he put it in the opening of our service, right? We was reading this every week. For years, we was reading this every week. You know how you read something over and over again, and it's almost like somebody keep pinching you, and eventually it get numb, and we don't really intake what is saying as we saying it. So take your time. Shema, hear intently what this psalm is saying to us and what the world knows, Israel, how Israel is going to judge the world. See, when Brother Shaul said, don't you know you're going to judge the world? Talking to Israel. No such thing as the church in the Most High's eyes. Abba's eyes. No such thing. None is Israel. No such thing as a Christian in Abba's eyes. None. Such thing. Coming that way, a robber and a thief, because he did not give that. Yisrael, period. Yeah, and I would eat every word. Show me one place in there that he's speaking directly to a Christian. Not one place in there he is speaking directly to one. Not one. There's none in there. This is a book of Ibrit, Yisraeli, and the other nations that surround them. Again, we're not excluding nobody. And even if you had that stepping stone, or if Abba brought you that way through Christianity, and you came out of that, hallelujah to that. I will brought you that way. Once you come into the understanding of the truth, you have to move on. And here's the thing. a lot of Israelite brothers and sisters who are rising up, they still want to hang on to Christianity and mesh the two together. Jewish Christian, quote unquote, is an oxymoron. Opposite. Different. One has a bold testimony and one has testimony. Again, we are not excluding because it is open, the door is open to the world. And as the scripture says, that when Yahushua sent his Malachim back, his angels back, that he's going to separate the sheep from the goat, from the goats. 22. Whether you're serving them or you're not. Middle ground. Middle religion, quote unquote. Ain't none of that. Sheep. Like sheep. Goat. That's it. Which represents those who serve, those who don't. Put in either one. Now, if you serve one of the 12 tribes, you will be put in. That answer. That's the Abba Yah. And be thankful if you're in any of them. Right? Let us be thankful if we're in any of them. Any of the ways that Abba Yah has given to us to share with the world. And I heard one Israelite brother say, we are the true Christians. What? You didn't jump backwards. You didn't jump behind yourself. Thank this one in the Most High God. Not as his people. Not as what he has laid down and given to the world. Well, let's read about this infection of the body. Let's go into the word of Yahweh. Let's see. The infection of the body. So we're going to Ephesians 4. And we're going 4 through 6 for those who are taking notes. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. 4, 5, and 6, that is. There is one body and one spirit, even as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim, or one Yah, one Father, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. One. Not a multitude of ways. Not as one of my coworkers just said, I just think that everybody got a piece of it and we all coming toward the same direction. No, that's not true. I had to tell her. I had to let her know that. That's not true, my sister. I'm sorry. You know, an example that I gave her is as a father, a mother who runs a household. And you give all your kids the same, right? You give them all the same dictates, right? They all have, look, when you get up in the morning, you this, that, and the other, right? I mean, it may vary in a little bit, but the dictates of the house are the same. If I said no TV after 6, it ain't the sister to be up at 11 o'clock still watching TV. That will go for all the kids. This household. After the same time, we turn off this. But the dictates would be the same, right? Simple. Take this life and the baby, and you'll be able to apply it to the word and see. That's what Abba Yah did for us. But we human beings, we get amnesia sometimes when we read the scriptures. We forget that all this is life experience that we are reading. Nature and a lot of human nature. But Yahushua, the brother, through brother Shaul, through brother Paul, said there's one body, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one way. One way, right? Last week we read about Israel and how they were so hard-headed. They were just so hard-headed. Let's read something. Let's go through something. And again, we read this over and over again. We read every Shabbat, we read this. And this probably one of the most read. The assemblies of Israel. And that is Shemot 20, 1 through 21, we're going to read. This is probably one of the most. And this is the scene at Sinai. When the Most High spoke to a nation, right? One of the most read. So Exodus 20, starting at 1, going down to 21. Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your mighty one, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourselves any idol, nor any image of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Amen. You should not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them. I, Yahweh, your mighty one, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and on the fourth generation of those who hate me. And listen to, he equates having idols, not doing what he asks you to do, to you hating him, to you despising him. And remember what we talked about. He's your Abba, he's your father. And that's how he feels when we do not do what he wants us to do. Because he said, right after that, don't have idols, don't do this, don't do that. But if you do it, on the third and fourth generation, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get your kids. I'm going to get everybody. But those who hate me, because what you're doing to me, you hate me. You should not take the name of Yahweh, your mighty one, in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. Listen to that, though. Let's go back. Let's stop. You will not be guiltless. I am going to, in other words, I am going to blame you if you take my name in vain. There's going to be blame put on you if you're taking my name in vain. Right? And this one, he says, guiltless. But we want to get it. We want to put it where everybody can understand what it's saying. I'm blaming you. I have an ought against you. Name in vain. You're making my name of none and void, right? You're bringing it to nothing. And what we do, how we speak, everything about our character, that name, right? Once we claim that name and say, I do, we have said, I do. And we're going to read, Israel said it. Israel said, I do to the Most High. And this is what he's telling them. You make my name of none and void. Because of that, I'm going to blame you. I have an ought against you. Eight again. Remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. You shall labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Shabbat to Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your livestock, nor your stranger, nor your stranger who is within your gate. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the seventh day, or the Shabbat day, and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which Yahweh, your mighty one, gives you. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor. All the thundering, the lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stayed at a distance. They said to Moshe, "Speak with us yourself, and we will listen, but don't let Abba Yah speak with us." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, for Yah has come to test." Can I back it up for a second? Right here. Start at 20. Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, for Yahushua has come to test you, and that his fear may be for you, and that you won't sin." Hey, we already talked about this a couple weeks ago. Those who don't know who Yahushua is, go back into the archives. We have a multitude of lessons on how Yahushua, Yahweh are one and the same. Multitude of lessons. I believe we probably up to almost 1,000, at least 900 lessons on Blog Talk Radio. Last I looked, it was at least 8-something, and that probably was last year. So it's probably every bit of 800 to 900 lessons on Blog Talk Radio. A multitude of lessons. So you can go back through the archive, and you'll be able to find exactly where Abba has given to a Moré or one of his priests, and they have brought out a truth about Yahweh's word. But this one, he says, Yahushua, don't be afraid. Look at that. They didn't see the thunders and the lightning, so they're afraid. Abba's will, as we have learned, it's all in Abba's will. Good. That way I can send my prophets out to them. I can deal with just the fruit. I don't have to deal with the whole nation. Every time I got something to say, I ain't got to bring them all to Sinai instead. This thing only going to happen once. I ain't got to do it multiple times. I can raise up prophets. As we read last week, Yahushua said he raised prophets all, every day, and sending them to Israel, kept raising them, kept sending them. Until today, he's still raising prophets, Morays, priests, sending them to Israel. Have gotten away from the order. They have gotten away from that. So Yaki elbowed that out last week, a week before last, 21. At a distance, and Moses came near to the thick darkness where Yah was, where Yahushua was. Amen? But, again, we are talking about the infection of the body, right? Well, and what is the body? Brother brought that out, right? A couple of weeks ago. The body is Yahushua, right? And we're going to break it down to individual, to our personal body, to ourselves, and what are these things, the infections of the body, what we call the lust of the flesh. You go through that, all those are infections of the body, of your spiritual body, right, that keep us from growing, from becoming that one, full, and healthy body, right? So we're going to read about Israel and some wars, and this is in, matter of fact, let me go to it. You can go to Wikipedia, and you can start with that. And this is called the First Jewish-Roman War, right? So we're going to read about this. And remember, Israel, we brought out last week how Israel is one child. Because remember, we're on a journey. And Abba is showing us something. He's painting a picture for us so we can see the whole scheme of things, the workings of Abba's plan, right? The workings of his plan. So this is in a Wikipedia. You can, or if you have Josephus, I believe is the antiquities of the Jews and the history of the Jewish-Roman war, right? But in this, it's going to say rebellion. It's going to talk about the rebellions, right? I'm not going to say rebellion because I understand that old adversary. That old adversary is words. He used words. It's a word play game because words are spirit. And if you say rebellion, oh, the Jews is rebellion because Rome is occupying them. This nation is occupying them, and they rebelling. And what person who gonna let somebody come in their house, take over their house, and at one time not fight back? How you come up with the idea that I'm fighting for my own home? I'm rebelling. Today, when we read it in this time, oh man, Israel was rebelling. Not against that. Not against y'all. They rebelled against Yahweh. We ain't rebelling against the Roman nation. We fighting for our life. We uprising. Uprising. We trying to fight for our home. We defending our home. Period. I'm going to go down because I'm not going to read all this. It's a lot. And I'm trying to figure out, get the spot where. All right, I'm going to start right here. And it's called The Great Revolt Began in the Year 66 CE, during the 12th year of the reign of Nero, irritating in Rome. And the Yahudi, or the Jewish religion, tensions. I'm going to try to read it as if whatever is saying on this paper, frankly, we know enough to be able to exchange it or change it in our own, right? But there may be somebody online. It may know. They might not know, so they understand the Jewish, right? Jewish religion tensions. The crisis escalated due to an anti-taxing protest and attacks upon Rome, citizens by the Jews. The Roman government, Decius Florus, responded by plundering the Second Temple, claiming money was for the emperor, and the next day launching a raid on the city, arresting numerous senior Jewish figures. And again, I want to give us the where we are in the time frame. We are just after Yahushua left the scene, a couple years after he had left the scene. I don't know how many years, give or take 30, 40, who knows. History knows, though. We can find that out. Somebody may can find that out and send us exactly how long. But we already read in the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, he prophesied this, right? Yahushua prophesied the coming of this nation that's going to tear a new one in Jerusalem. Okay. Yes, Nero. It was Nero. And the next day, launching a raid on the city, arresting numerous senior Jewish figures. This prompted a wider, large-scale rebellion, and the Roman military garrison of Judea was quickly overran by the rebels, or by those who protected their home. Again, I just want to put that in our mindset. When you hear this word rebels, they are occupying their home. They're not rebels. While the pro-Roman king, King Herod Agrippa II, together with Roman officials, fled Jerusalem, as it became clear the rebellion was getting out of control. Cetius Gallus, the legate of Syria, brought in a sovereign army based on a legion of 12 Fomitia, and reinforced by auxiliary troops to restore order and quell the revolt. Despite the initial advances and the quest of Jaffa, the Syrian legion was ambushed and defeated by Jewish rebels at the Battle of Beth Haran with 6,000 Romans massacred, and the legion Aquila lost during 66. The Judean provisional government was formed in Jerusalem, including former high priest And listen, now they are forming after they didn't. Let's understand where we are and where we at in this history, in this battle. They just ran out the Assyrian king who didn't try to come and help the Romans. Then they killed 6,000 Romans. Now they're trying to set up a government, Israel, that is. The Judean provisional government was formed in Jerusalem, including former high priest Ananias ben Ananias, Joseph ben Garon, Joseph ben Gamaliel, elected as leaders, Joseph ben Matityahu. Guess who that is? That is Josephus. Josephus' true name is Joseph ben Matityahu. And another time, we had read about Josephus and Vespasian, and by the time Vespasian caught up, we're not going to read about it today. We're just giving you a backdrop. Josephus surrendered, and he changed his name. He changed his name to Flavius Josephus, but his original name was Joseph ben Matityahu. So gave up the fight and conformed to the world, in other words, right? Was appointed the rebel commander. Look, he was a commander. Josephus was in this war. The historian that we read in Galilee, and Eleazar ben Hananiah as the commander in Edom. Later in Jerusalem, an attempt by Menahem ben Yehuda, leader of the Sakai, to take control of the city failed. Why is it that these different factions is rising up? And that's where we're going at. The infection of the body. Because if they didn't inform something, but this person popping up and this person, let's continue to read. Because we're going to read how all these factions started and everybody wanted to take control. As we in war, and you just killed 6,000 Romans. You don't think they're coming back? Simon Bar, no. He was executed, the one, and the remaining Sakai were ejected from the city. Simon Bar Goria, a peasant leader, was also expelled by the new government, Israel government, that is. The experienced and unassuming general Phasian was given the task by Nero of crushing the rebellion in Judea province. Vespasian's son, Titus, was appointed as second in command, given four legions and assisted by forces of King Agrippa. The second, Vespasian invaded Galilee in 67. The year had passed. Avoiding a direct attack on the reinforced city of Jerusalem, which was defended by the main rebel force, the Romans launched a persistent campaign to eradicate rebel strongholds and punish the population. Within several months, Vespasian and Titus took over the major Jewish stronghold of Galilee and finally overran Jopapia, which was under the command of Joseph ben Matityahu. Under whose command? Josephus, right? As well as to Caesarea, which brought an end to the war in Galilee. Driven from Galilee, zealot rebels and thousands of refugees arrived in Jerusalem. And again, this is around the time of the Pesach. We're going to read some more information about this, but around this time, this is around the time of the Pesach. Driven from Galilee, zealot rebels and thousands of refugees arrived in Jerusalem, creating political turmoil. Confrontation between the mainly Sadducee Jerusalemites and the mainly zealot factions of the Northern Revolt. And under the command of John of Gasila, and Eleazar ben Simon erupted into bloody violence, with Idumea entering the city and fighting by the side of the zealots. The former high priest, Ben Ananias, was killed and his faction suffered several casualties. Simon Bar-Goria commanded 15,000 militant men, was then invited into Jerusalem by the Sadducees, leader to stand against the Zealots, and quickly took control over the city. Bitter infighting between the factions of Simon, John, and Eleazar followed through the year of 69. War is at hand, and there is bitter fighting in Israel. The infections of the body. We got an army, sure, and we are fighting each other. We are trying to rise as a nation, and we are busy in fighting. How are we going to rise as a nation? And we in fighting. Everybody want to be in charge. Got a word. Everybody. And guess what? We fighting the same army. Because isn't Rome the fourth beast still in charge? But much more sophisticated now? Much more sophisticated? Bitter infighting between the factions of Simon, John, and Eleazar followed through the year 69. After a lull in the military operations, owing to the civil war and political turmoil in Rome, Vespasian was called to Rome and appointed as emperor in 69. When Vespasian departed, Titus moved to besiege the center of the rebel resistance in Jerusalem in early 70. When is 56, right? They still haven't taken over Jerusalem, but the surroundings, they took over. But as they is plotting to come, really take over, in fighting with Israel. The first two walls of Jerusalem was breached within 3 weeks, but a stubborn rebel standoff. Listen to how they try to proclaim it. A stubborn. You stubborn. Get up out of this house. You so stubborn. What? Stubborn rebel standoff prevented the Roman army from breaking the third and thickest wall. Following a brutal 7-month siege, during which the zealot infighting resulted in a burning of the entire food supply. They fighting so much the food supply is being burnt, hurting their own provisions. A ministry society. They're hurting their own provisions of the city. The Romans finally succeeded in breaching the defense of the weakened Jewish forces in the summer of 70. Following the fall of Jerusalem in the year 71, Titus departed for Rome. He left a legion, Pentius, to defeat the remaining Jewish strongholds, including Horatium and Marcius. The Roman campaign ended the Roman success at the siege of Macedon in 73 and 74. I could read more, but you get the thought, right? In your own spare time, again, get the book of Josephus, the history of the Jews, and the war against the Romans. You'll be able to read so much more of that. But Israel just stood at Sinai, if we follow the story, and said, yes, if you keep on reading, they said, yes, all that you said, Abiyah, we're going to do. Love one another. Love one another. Treat your neighbor as yourself. Israel said, all that we will do, we're not going to have idols. We know and understand that all that went to the wayside, right? All that went to the wayside. But in the midst of war, we couldn't put aside our differences to come together to fight one of the grandest army on the face of the planet at that time. Couldn't put aside our differences. We end fighting so much that our food supply ran dry. And one brother took and changed his name, probably changed his religion to quote-unquote religion, his faith and everything. see the brother, he's painted, if you even get up the picture of him, he's painted as looking like some Roman, right? He looked like some Roman. Changed everything. Because, again, he was offered sanction, and he took it. He took it. So much more if you want to go into read that, right? But we're still reading. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start at 1, and we're going to let the Ruach HaKodesh finish where he finished at, yeah? And when we finish, you can write it down. But let's follow the story. Israel said, yes, we're not going to do that. War will come about. We end fighting. Trying to rise up as a nation today, we end fighting. We can't come together on nothing. We can't come, and we all should be listening again to thus saith Yahweh through his Moraes, through his priests, through the system that Israel said, we want. We'd rather have you talk to us, Moshe. We don't want Yahweh to talk to us. We'd rather have a system. We don't want to talk directly to you no more. I said, good. I'm going to set a system up for y'all. I'm going to send prophets to y'all. I'm going to send priests to y'all. I'm going to send Moraes to y'all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use anybody. I'm going to use a donkey if I have to speak to you. But are you listening, Israel? Are we getting rid of these infections of the body? And we're about to read some infections of the body. Brothers, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual, but as to fleshly, as to babies in Mashiach. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you weren't yet ready, indeed not. Even now are you not ready? For you were still fleshly, for insofar as there is jealousy, strife, and factions among you, aren't you fleshly, and don't you walk in the ways of men? There shouldn't be no faction among Israel. We are fractured all throughout the nation. Throughout the nation, there's factions throughout the nation. Today, we talking about back then, but we got to bring it up to today, so ain't nothing changed in Israel. An assembly that had all the gifts in Yahweh. Remember that about the Corinthian church. This ain't no just any old assembly that he's talking about. This ain't no any old body of believers. Talking about this body of believers here, sometimes we got to go back and we got to read the book of Corinthians and see what was given to them. But listen to how Brother Shaul is talking to them. Envy and strife, factions among you. And I pray, Abba Yah, that does not happen in Bet Yahweh. I pray it's not happening in Bet Yahweh. That factions should not be in Bet Yahweh. The house of Yahushua, right? Shouldn't be. He said you were carnal and walking as men, fleshly. We're not being led by the Ruach. And at the end of this, we're going to see what happened. Infighting. Because of the factions that rise up. What happened? And these infections of the body. The blood is infected. The respiratory system is infected. The digestive system is infected. So what does the body do when it has these infections? It gets rid of it. We have designed the body to get rid of these things when infections arise in it. So remember, Israel, let us remember and not exclude myself. as we've been told before, when the Morays speak, they are talking to themselves first, and then it goes out. Drop where it's supposed to be dropped. Where Abba Yah is dropping. Not the Morays. Not the priests. So what does the body do when it has these infections? We learned and understood what, oh my goodness. I hate when I get those brain thoughts in my mind, but oh my goodness, right there, right on my tongue. But we learned what he told the priest to do about in the house. Maybe a brother or sister remember, and when I talk, it'll come to him. When he told the priest to go and see about a stone or a brick in the house, what he told him to do with it for 7 days. Go and check it. What is the name of that? I'll bring it to me. He said, after a while, if that infection has spread it, you take that stone out. Did not the scripture say we are all lively stones? That, see, we know to understand that the Torah is spiritual. So Abba Yah ain't just talking about that physical house. There we go. Hallelujah. Leprosy. Go to that house. And if you find leprosy in that house, what you supposed to do? The priest for 7 days. Are we not lively stones? Is that not an infection? Stories the devil. I told you, it is for our learning. It is for our learning. And Abba Yah connecting for us. Three. For you are still fleshly. For in so far as there is jealousy, strife, and factions among you, aren't you fleshly? And don't you walk in the ways of men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, aren't you fleshly? Who then is Apollos, and who is Paul, but servants to whom you believe, and each as the master gave to him, right? Or Yahushua gave to him. I planted Apollos watered, but Yahushua gave the increase, right? God, Brother Sean, because these things are rising up, and people are starting to look at men, taking their eyes off of Yahushua. Come back, and he had to correct that. No brother in this congregation is Yahushua, who gives the increase. By his puppets, servants. Chosen just to give the word, whether they hear or forbear. You do not listen to one of the Marines, you ain't listen to Yahushua. As long as they're giving you what thus says Yahushua, right? So then neither who plants is anything, nor who waters, but Yahushua who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are the same, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. To get my reward. Just as well as everybody else got to get their reward according to the deeds that I have done for Abba Yah. That's what we're saying. For we are Yahushua's fellow workers. You are Yahushua's farming, Yahushua's building, according to the grace of Yahushua, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I laid a foundation, and another builds on it. But let each man be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than that which has been laid, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. But if any builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each man's work will be revealed. For the day will declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself will test what sort of work each man is worth. Any man's work remains which he builds on it, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but as through fire. Don't you know that you are a temple of Yah? Or the body, right? You are the body. And that, excuse me, let me go back. Let's be back and we put in Yahushua on this. Don't you know that you are the temple of Yahushua? And that Yahushua's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys Yahushua's temple, Yahushua will destroy him. For Yahushua's temple is holy. Are you? Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks that he is wise among you in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yahushua. For it is written, he has taken the wise in their craftiness. And again, the master knows the reasoning of the wise that is worthless. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Shaul or Apollos or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come. All are yours. Mashiach, Yahushua, is Yah. Amen? And Mashiach is Yah. Hallelujah. I wasn't supposed to read that whole thing, but we said we're going to let the Spirit read it, right? We're going to let the Ruach read and lead that. So we just went through some infections in the body. And what happened? They couldn't come together. Come together. Boy, come and talk. A major army is at the door again now. In enemy territory right now. Reference the movie Behind Enemy Lines. Well, we are behind enemy lines right now. And we must be unified. We must be unified. But listen. Listen, let's go somewhere else real quick. I got some hold on for a second. I'm coming. I just want to make sure I'm reading it. It's the right thing. And these historians, eyewitness account at the same time, because again, if you go back and you read the full story of what happened at this time, this was around the time of Pesach. This was just after Pesach, right? What happened, what we just read about in the quote-unquote Jewish revolt against the Romans. But listen, we're about to read some eyewitness accounts. This is what eyewitness accounts. Several historians and thousands of testimonies. Thousands of testimonies. I'm just going to read because I had to take these excerpts out of the book, and I'm just going to read the excerpts. And this is in Josephus again. And I forgot the one, the Brother Harwell, he did send me another historian talking about the same thing. If you can, Brother Harwell, send that text out so we can know which name that historian, a famous Roman historian, another famous. And this is the result of the infighting. There have been seen hosts joining battle in the sky. The fiery gleam of arms illuminated by a sudden radiance from the clouds. The doors of the inner shrine were suddenly thrown open, and a voice of more than a mortal tone was heard. To cry that the Elohim or the gods were departing. All the same instant, there was a mighty stir of departure. Some few put a fearful meaning on these events, but the most, there was a firm persuasion that the ancient record, excuse me, I got to enlarge this, I'm trying to read it a little bit right. The ancient records of the priest was contained a prediction on how this very time the East was to grow powerful. I'm going to stop right there. But listen to that. When I first heard it, chills came through my body. Chills. So many eyewitnesses, several historians have written about the same thing. They're not teaching this. All the infighting of Israel, Abba Yah had to leave. It said glittering swords in the air. They saw these things. This account saw these things over the temple. Over the temple? Swords, angels leaving. Because Israel is infighting. Fighting. Got one more thing to read. One more eyewitness account. While the arbitrary conduct of the governor and the irritated state of Jewish people threatened them with the horrors of war, terrific sights in the heavens appeared to fulfill the awful prediction of our Savior. Josephus, among many other fearful prodigies, relates that before the rebellion, when a great multitude was assembled in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the ninth hour of the night, so great a light shone around the altar and the temple that it seemed to be bright day, that in a few days after the festival, before sunset, chariots and troops of soldiers in armor were seen passing through the clouds and surrounding cities, that the priests growing into the inner temple felt the place move. Abba Yah left them. He left us. Could not get it together. We're in fighting. He left. In Israel. If we all Israelites, we all claiming the same thing, and we all have another king with us, who they not going to fight each other? Fight each other for us. Now we out of here. We gone. They are not going to fight each other. The only other option that Israel left to leave. Leave Israel. The only other option. Let me finish that thought, though. Because we ain't finished with that. Got one more. It's still in the same page. We just had to go over to the next. And heard a voice, more than human, crying, "Let us depart hence." This account is confirmed by Tacitus, the Roman historian, who says portents and prodigies announced the ruin of Jerusalem. Swords were seen glittering in the air, and battle armies appeared, and the temple was illuminated by a stream of light. The issue from the heavens, the portal flew open, and a voice more than human announced the immediate departure of the Elohim, of Elohim. There was heard at the same time a terrific sound as a superior being was actually rushing forth. And the Romans understood at that point that Abba Yah have left Israel. Their protection have left it. Because of our infighting, Israel. Because our carnality, our strife, our jealousy, our faction. Coming. Calamities is coming, Israel. Why you think he's coming out? Because he's telling us what is the course of the world. What is happening. He's trying to get us together to unite. We did not take the opportunity in this year to come together, to be a card. And shut the world down. Get closer. They knew and understood that. Don't you know they knew and heard the account when the Melchizedek came down and put his armor on Yehuda? See? Heard the account when told his servants, open up his eyes, that Melekim was on the mountain with horses. That was protected. That is our power. And that we ask every week, what would you do to your enemy to keep him from the source of his power? That was the question each and every week since this journey we started. So, what would you do to keep your enemy from the source of his power? This time, but Israel did it themselves. Please, fighting, faction, jealousy. Are you not carnal? Amen. As the book of King James put it, are we not carnal if these things are happening? Now, again, we started off. Let's take a self-evaluation of ourselves and see if these things are in us as we try to rebuild, or as the scriptures say, help Yahushua rebuild the nation. As we try to help Yahushua rebuild the nation, are these things in us? Envy, strife, factions, jealousy. We got to get rid of these things. Thousands of, you know they're not, this information right here ain't easy to find. This is hard. Put that out there, just out there so any Joe Smoke can jump up and find it. No, this information right here is hard to find. They don't want us to know that about our power. I want us to know that. But Israel, our power is within us. When you have envy, strife, jealousy, factions within you, we are hindering power that lives within us. Didn't he not just read that in the book of Corinthians? That it is in you, that Yahushua is in you, in us. Do we believe it? Do we understand it? You can believe something, but if you don't understand it, then it's just there. That's why I would say, it was all thy getting. Get understanding. Get understanding. Again, you started off, learn yourself, Israel. Learn who we are as a person, how we have been shaped and molded the majority of our lives, and submit to Yahweh. Submit that to Yahweh and pray, and he will change us. He will change us. But all this right here we just read foreshadowed something in the book of Shemot, right? All what we just read about the Melekim, I believe in us, it is a small incident that's going to happen. Now, it has showed us to me and Brother Harwell when we was talking one day in one of our chats. And I'm going to read this in the King James. I'm going to read this in the King James. And we're going to Exodus 2. Exodus 2, and I'm going to read just three verses. And we're going to see that the Torah is spiritual, right? Exodus 2, starting at 11 through 14. I'm just going to read it first. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them, that him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou, fellow? And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Instead thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is mine. Right? just heard me say that what happened at the second temple, where the Melakim represents Yahweh, represents Yah, left. Question, who did Moshe point to? Who is that? What does the scripture say Moshe pointed? What did Abba Yah, or let's bring it back, what did Yahushua say to Moshe? All right, Moses, you got a speech impediment? Let's back it up. You be God to the people. Moses, Aaron going to be your prophet. All right, the people going to see you as God. Aaron going to be your prophet. You good with that? You ain't got to say too much. Your brother Aaron can talk. You good? All right, I'm good with that, Abba. So what does the scripture say Moshe is? What did Moshe try to do when the Israelites was in fighting, when they were fighting one another? In captivity. We fighting. Moses came. He turned on him. He left. And we know Moses came back eventually. Abba Yah gonna come back. He's coming back. We cannot be infighting, Israel. We cannot be infighting. We can't infight. We have to have love for one another. That is how the world knows who we are, Yahushua's disciples. Right? It's Talmudim. That's how the world knows. That unconditional love for one another. But again, what will you do to keep your enemy from the source of his power? What will you do? And we understand and we asking that question. We talk through the eyes of Halal because we know what he's doing to keep us from the source of our power. The source. And it ain't no power that's outside of us. It's a power within us. There's a lot of it up too now. We can't give Hillel all the credit. Some of it is up. Is that envy? We know when we feel these things towards a brother and a sister. We have factions. We can only listen to this brother when he teach. We only can hear that brother when he teach. We ain't tuning in with ears attentively, Shema, regardless of who it is. Right? Shamari, regardless of who it is. Y'all, we spoke to a donkey. What makes you think you can't speak to a man? These factions. We got this strife. Got this envy, this jealousy. Because we're carnal. We're not moving the spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh. We're not. And that's partly because what we started off with, we're not learning ourselves. We're not truly looking in the law of liberty and that mirth. We're not doing that. We see something pretty, right? We got to truly look in that law of liberty, glorious law, that thing that can change us, that thing that it says that it can cut marrow, meat, flesh from the bones. It does that. That word, that's his word. It does that for us. We are in these places because we're not striving to change within. We're not striving to change within. Again, the Corinthians had the knowledge. They had spiritual gifts. They were still fleshly. It was still carnal. It was not moving. Again, we talked about it before. It's almost like a functioning addict is what most believers have become. A functioning addict. Right? I'm still getting high. Still got all these infections in the body, still got all these ways that are against Torah, but I'm functioning, right? Daily, deadly. And what is the thing about an addict, right? Or let's say a recovering addict, because we can learn from that too. And I can speak on that because I grew up in the house of a mom that was an addict and a brother and several other relatives, right? So we all know somebody that been down that road. And one of the proudest things for them is to have a year under their belt, have 2 years under their belt, have 20 years under their belt. That's proud. That's a proud moment from an addict, right? Because what they did, they fighting their flesh continually. Believers, I used to do this last year. I used to talk like this last year. I used to have this mindset. I used to have this upon me. I was a jealous person. We fighting these things, these infections that's in the body? Are we fighting them? Functioning believer. We're not shedding these things that's keeping up away for us not to truly be walking in that power. And that's the end of today's blog talk lesson, family. That's the end. So I'm not going to just keep talking. I just want to thank Abiyah once again for allowing me or giving me a word so I can first bring it into my rock and dispense it out to everybody else. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abiyah, once again, for your word. Thank you for your guidance, Father. Thank you for your spirit, Father. Thank you for the lesson, Abiyah. Thank you. Prayfully, we all can learn and your word be planted as a seed. And you give the increase, Abiyah. You give the increase. As your marais plant and water, you give the increase, Abiyah. That is our prayer for us, Father, that as we plant and water, you give the increase. Not us. We have not that power to make anything grow. Pray to you, Father, that you give the increase. May all Yisrael be in your covering. May all Yisrael continue to stay in your blessings. May all Yisrael be healed, Father. May we all meet Yahushua in the sky when we practice. Yahushua is holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom. Amen.
Inne matobu manahayim shevetachim gam yahad. Inne matobu manahayim shevetachim gam yahad. Nematov, nematov. La 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 ya la la la. Nematov, nematov. La 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 ya la la la. Inne matovu manahayim shevetachim gam yachad. Inne matovu manahayim shevetachim gam yachad. Inne matov u manahayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Inne matov u
yum, yum, yum.
Ine mato vine mahato.
La 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 la. Ine mato vine mahato.
La 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 ya la la la. Ine mato buhumanayim.
Ine mato buhumanayim.
Ine mato buhumanayim. Ine mato
Oh.